Moncrief on News Talk.
This might seem ghoulish if you think about it, but a life jacket from the Titanic was recently sold at auction for an astonishing £760,000. Andrew Aldridge was the auctioneer who handled the sale. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Sean.
I assume life jackets from the Titanic don't come up for sale very often.
You assume correctly. The example that we sold, so it was the only life jacket from a Titanic survivor that has ever come for auction. So, you know, it really was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a collector.
Yeah, and I suppose what's extraordinary about this is that you have provenance on it. You know who would it, or who wore it anyway, leaving the Titanic.
Completely. You know, in our business, we're the world's leaders in the sale of Titanic memorabilia. So provenance, you know, is as vital as oxygen, if you like. Every single object from the Titanic that we sell has to have superlative, beyond all reasonable doubt, provenance. And in the case of this life jacket, effectively, we know where it was pretty much from 1912 to 2026.
So who wore it? Who did it belong to?
It was a woman called Mabel Francatelli, and she was a first-class passenger, and she was personal secretary to Lady Duff Gordon. And Lucille Duff Gordon was pretty much one of the most foremost dress designers of the Edwardian era, and they were going to the US to work on a new collection.
And she's Mabel survived. Did her boss survive?
They did, and her husband. Right. And this adds to the story, is they survived on lifeboat number one. And lifeboat number one gained a little bit of notoriety because it had a capacity for 40 people, and there were only 12 on lifeboat number one. And it gained the moniker, the money boat. And basically, it got that because when Titanic sinks and these passengers are saved, they get to New York, and Sir Cosmo Duff Gordon finds out that Titanic's crew's wages were stopped at the exact moment that Titanic sank. So what he decided to do, at the goodness of his heart, was he asked Franks, as her nickname was, to draw a check on his Coutts account for £5 to each of the crewmen on his boat. And the press, as they do, they don't change from 1912 to 2026. They construed it the other way. And basically, it was deemed that money had bought their passage on that lifeboat. You know, and hindsight is a wonderful thing. To be fair, you can look at it. Either argument has credibility. But that act really did. It gained them an awful lot of infamy.
Yeah. The life jacket itself, did she need to use it, or was she just happened to be wearing it when she got into the lifeboat?
She was wearing it in the sense that she didn't actually go into the water. She literally stepped from the deck of the Titanic into the lifeboat. However, the caveat to that is there's quite a lot of water staining to it, because naturally there would have been a lot of water, you know, that rowing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It should have been splashed with North Atlantic water, et cetera. And the life jacket, it does have a number of water stains. Interestingly as well, and this is something that didn't happen in 1912, if you're in a famous event now, you know, if you're a footballer and you've scored a hat-trick in the Champions League final, you will have that football signed. And many other things in 2026, if you're involved in a famous event, you will sign an item of memorabilia, an object, just for future generations, really. Didn't happen in 1912. However, this life jacket was signed by Miss Francatelli and a number of other crew members. Again, it just adds another element to the story.
It's extraordinary. And this life jacket's well over 100 years old. Would it have been particularly effective as a flotation device?
Well, that's the $1 million. It would have, to a point, if you'd have gone into the water, the segmentation element to it, they're cork. So cork floats. So yes, it would have, you would have been able to float. However, the caveat to that is the very nature of the design of this jacket meant that if people jumped into the water from any significant height, the weight of their body or person hitting the water and the water rushing upwards and hitting the bottom of the life jacket would have hit them in the chin. And many, many people actually had their necks broken by these life jackets.
Oh, my word.
So they saved lives, but equally, they took them as well.
And did Mabel keep it in her possession then after that?
Mabel kept it in her possession. It was recovered by a family member, ironically, that had been in the loft for countless generations. And then it was, that particular family member, they sold it back in 2007 at auction in London. And my client bought it. And he called me late last year to say, I think it's time to pass the baton to the next collector. It's time for you to organise a sale for me.
Yeah. And would it be fair to say that the price that it achieved, $670,000, was way beyond your expectations?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, as I say, we're the world's leaders in the sale of this material. So we're very well placed to put a pre-sale estimate on something. Yeah, I've sold millions and millions of euros worth of Titanic material over the years. However, there is, you know, there's an old auction cliche. When I came into this business 30 years ago, there was a wizened old antiques dealer, and I asked him for a bit of advice. He said, advice costs money, but I'll give you one thing. Well, actually, no, I'll give you two things. A little knowledge is a very dangerous thing, which is very, very, very true in any field of antiques. But also, more than that, something is only worth what two people are prepared to pay for it.
Yeah.
And my job is to place these historic, incredibly important artifacts in the world's media, and also to place them in front of my client base. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have numerous high net worth individuals, collectors, historians, museums, et cetera, on my database. And effectively say to them, okay, chaps, there we go. And obviously the result of that on Saturday was £670,000, which is a world record.
And a fascinating story to go with it. Andrew Aldridge is an auctioneer at Henry Aldridge and Son in Devizes in Wiltshire. Andrew, thanks a million.
My pleasure, Sean. Take care.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.